from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Vice President Maruf Amin holds farewell gathering with Vice President Secretariat employees. Communication and Informatics Ministry is making a special study about X having an office in Indonesia. I'm Nugra Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Vice President of the Republic of Indonesia Maruf Amin and his wife Wuri Maruf Amin held a farewell gathering with officials and employees of the Vice Presidential Secretariat in Jakarta on Thursday. The Vice President emphasized the importance of the spirit of service to the nation and state.
Pengabdian itu tidak pernah berhenti, dan itu harus kita lakukan.
Devotion never stops and we must do it because that is the religious command. If you have finished one, start again with another, so it never stops.
Sudah menyelesaikan satu, mulai lagi dengan yang lain. Jadi tidak pernah berhenti. Ini pengabdian.
Vice President Maruf Amin also highlighted a number of achievements during his tenure, such as the progress of the Sharia economy, the reduction of stunting, and the reduction of poverty. He also appreciated the improvement of the quality of life in Papua and the success of bureaucratic reforms as reflected in the increase in performance indicators. Vice President Maruf Amin hopes that the spirit of service will be maintained even though there will be a change of leadership. Minister of Communication and Informatics Budi Aris Setiadi said in Jakarta on Thursday that his side is making a special study so that the social media platform from the United States X can have an official office in Indonesia. Quoted by Antara, this is because X currently has quite a number of loyal users in Indonesia, so the right communication approach is needed so that the company owned by Elon Musk can have an office in Indonesia. He also said that the government study was based on the experience of the countries such as Brazil. In Brazil, X had its access blocked because it withdrew its official representative at the end of the August. He stressed that Indonesia remain firm in asking X to open an official representative in Indonesia to maintain fairness to other digital platforms. Hasanuddin University UNHAS and the Australian Consulate General in Makassar, South Sulawesi are working together to present an exhibition entitled Two Nation, A Friendship is Born. Quoted by Antara, the exhibition, which is part of the celebration of the 75th anniversary of Australian-Indonesia's diplomatic relation, was held at the AIC Lab Court, UNHAS Tamalandrea campus in Makassar on Thursday. Rector of UNHAS, Jamaluddin Jompa, in his remarks appreciated and thanked the collaboration and trust given by the Australian Consul General to present this exhibition. The Australian Consul General in Surabaya, Glenn Askew, appreciated the readiness of the East Java Regional Disaster Mitigation Agency in facing disasters. This was conveyed during his visit to the East Java Regional Disaster Mitigation Agency in Surabaya, East Java on Thursday. Quoted by Antara, Glenn said, that his side explored various information about potential disasters in East Java and preparedness efforts that have been carried out by the East Java Regional Disaster Mitigation Agency. He appreciated the readiness of the East Java Regional Disaster Mitigation Agency in facing various existing disaster threats. Meanwhile, head of East Java Regional Disaster Mitigation Agency Gatot Subroto also expressed his gratitude for the contribution of the Australian government through the Siap Siaga program, which has assisted and helped a number of disaster activity acceleration programs in East Java. Acting Governor of Bali, Sang Made Mahendra Jaya, received a visit from the United States Ambassador to Indonesia, Kamala Shirin Lakdir. Quoted by Antara in his statement in Denpasar, Bali on Thursday, Made discussed the desire for Bali to receive assistance in the field of education, one of which is in the form of scholarship program for native Balinese sons and daughters. Made also said that human resources in Bali are superior, diligent, creative, and highly innovative. Meanwhile, Ambassador Kamala agreed that education is important, so that her side held an education exhibition that brought together Indonesian and U.S. students to exchange knowledge and experiences and share tips on studying abroad. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi and Qatari Minister of State for International Cooperation Lalwah bin Rashid Al Khatir signed a memorandum of understanding on scholarship for Afghan students to receive education and study at universities in Indonesia. As reported by the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the signing of the MOU was carried out virtually on Thursday. This memorandum will be the basis for scholarship cooperation for Afghan students at several universities in Indonesia, funded by Qatar. Let's move on to the international news, where the head of the International Monetary Fund, IMF, Kristalina Georgieva, said that the international community must come together despite a difficult geopolitical environment to tackle common challenges such as sluggish growth and the existential threat posed by climate change. According to AFP, Georgieva made the remarks on Thursday, speaking ahead of the semi-annual meeting of the leaders of the International Monetary Fund, IMF, and the World Bank in Washington, D.C., United States, next week. She used the speech to celebrate progress in tackling inflation while warning of the dangers facing the global economy. Georgieva also touched on conflicts in the Middle East, adding to the challenges facing policymakers. The European Commission, through the European Civil Protections and Humanitarian Aid Operations Division, DG ECHO, and the ASEAN Coordination Center for Humanitarian Assistance in Natural Disaster Mitigation, AHA Center, signed a cooperation agreement in Jakarta on Thursday. Reported by Antara, European Commissioner for Humanitarian Aid and Crisis Management, Janice Lenarczyk, said the agreement between the European Union and ASEAN on disaster mitigation will prioritize three efforts, namely knowledge exchange, people exchange, and joint training. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today.
Today's commentary is on India-Canada bilateral relations are getting hotter. Tensions between India and Canada have been heating up recently. Canada expelled six Indian diplomats after a federal police investigation found Indian government agents involved in a campaign of violence against Indian Sikh dissidents in Canada. Canadian Foreign Minister Melanie Joly said on Monday that the decision to expel the Indian diplomats was based on sufficient, clear, and concrete evidence that identified six people of interest as being involved in the murder of six Canadian activists Hardeep Singh Najjar in June 2023. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said in a press conference on Monday that the Royal Canadian Mounted Police had found clear and convincing evidence that Indian agents were involved in activities that threatened public safety in Canada. 2 days after Canada expelled six Indian diplomats, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on Wednesday accused India of committing a grave error by committing acts of violence, including murder and extortion, on Canadian soil. Trudeau, appearing before a federal inquiry into foreign interference, said there were increasingly clear indications of New Delhi's criminal activities, including targeting Indian Sikh dissidents in Canada. India rejected the Canadian government's allegations as absurd. In response, India's foreign ministry said it would expel 6 Canadian diplomats, including the High Commissioner, and give them deadline until Saturday to leave the country. The dispute between India and Canada began in 2023. The latest Canadian accusations, coupled with the expulsion of Indian diplomats, have sent bilateral relations plunging to the lowest point so far. In fact, both countries had recognized each other as strategic partners in previous years. Canada recognizes India's great potential in the Indo-Pacific Strategy 2022. The governments of India and Canada need to have a serious open dialogue on the issue. If there is no dialogue, it is feared that it will spread and impact the trade and investment business relations of the two countries. That was today's commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. I'll start today in history. On October 18, 1967, when the Soviet Union's rocket successfully reached Venus. The Soviet Union's Venera 4 research rocket successfully reached the planet Venus on October 18, 1967. Venera 4 was a probe launch as part of the Venera program, the Soviet space project to explore the planet Venus. The probe was also recorded as the first probe from Earth to successfully reach another planet. Based on the result of the analysis of Venera 4, it is known that the temperature on Venus is very hot and much denser. It is possible that Venus has lost most of its water long ago. Let's move in on to October 18, 1992, when the Merpati Nusantara Airlines Flight 5601 plane crashed. Merpati Nusantara Airlines Flight 5601 was a domestic flight service in Indonesia that served the route from Ahmad Yani International Airport Semarang Central Java to Hussein Sastra Negara International Airport Bandung West Java. On October 18, 1992, a CN-23510 plane en route to Bandung crashed into Mount Puntang, Bandung Regency, West Java, at 1:30 p.m. in bad weather. The plane exploded on impact, killing all 27 passengers and 4 crew members on board. I'll end today in history with October 18, 2007, when bomb attacks in Karachi, Pakistan. A bomb attack on the motorcade of former Pakistani Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto occurred in Karsas, Karachi, Pakistan on October 18, 2007. The bombing happened as Benazir Bhutto was being welcomed after returning from her exile in England. It resulted in at least 180 people being killed, mostly members of Bhutto's Pakistan's People's Party, and 500 people being injured. Benazir Bhutto survived in the incident. However, about 2 months later, in December 2007, while she was attending a party rally, a gunman opened fire on her bulletproof vehicle. A bomb then exploded near the car, killing more than 20 people and injuring 100 others, including Bhutto. Benazir Bhutto died from head injuries caused by the force of the blast.
Doa
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government through the Industry Ministry encouraged the agro industry in every region to enhance regional economic growth. The agro industry includes seven main sectors such as food, beverage, paper, printing, wood processing, and cone that have made average growth of 4.84% until 2024. During Kapuas Economic Forum organized by Bank Indonesia West Kalimantan Chapter on Wednesday said, the Director of Food and Plantation Product Industry at the Industry Ministry, Satya Diarta, said, the growth is better with achievement in 2023 and 2022 and contributed more than 51% to gross domestic products GDP of the processing industry. Besides, the agro sector also made a trade surplus of 17.91%. Currently, total investment of the agro industry is almost 90 trillion rupiah. According to Satya Diarta, the agro sector has a great competitiveness value, especially in the palm oil industry, where Indonesia is the biggest producer in the world. He also affirmed the importance of protecting the palm industry from black campaign. The Indonesian palm oil production in 2023 reached 250 million of fresh fruit, with crude palm oil or CPO production ranging from 50 to 51 million tons. However, Satya said, the main challenge faced by the agro industry's dependence on raw and supporting materials from abroad, mainly in food and beverages. The industry ministry also admitted there is still homework on agro industry capacity utility that is yet to recover fully, like before COVID-19 pandemic. Productivity improvement became the main focus, mainly in the palm oil sector. According to Satya, the private palm oil productivity was 20 to 24 tons per hectare, while the state-owned ones only made 18 to 20 tons per hectare. There is a big challenge in improving productivity, especially in the community plantation with only 6 to 8 tons per hectare. The industry ministry is committed to strengthening the industry structure and industrialization ecosystem through research, innovation, manpower standard improvement, and new technology application. Satya also highlighted the policy that would support the agro sector, including investment incentive through tax allowance and tax holiday program. Amid global challenges, such as the European Union Deforestation Regulation EUDR, Satya Diarta said, the industry ministry would keep trying to maintain the competitiveness value of the palm oil industry. In 2045, the target of Indonesia CPO productions can reach 100 million tons, twice of the current production.
Jangan pernah bertanya, mengapa ku mencinta? Jelas sudah di mata, apalagi di hati. Bukan sekedar kata, kata-kata-katanya dirangkai, dibelai, jadi kalimat cinta. Bukanlah mimpi di hati. Wajah
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
If you are traveling to Aceh, Indonesia, please try to taste the traditional drink. It's called Boh Manok Weng, or often abbreviated as BMW. It is one of Aceh's specialty coffees. The name of this beverage comes from the word Boh Manok, meaning chicken, and Weng, meaning world. This drink is made from a mixture of coffee, free-range chicken eggs, and young areca nuts that creates a unique flavor. These ingredients have long been part of the Acehese tradition. The making of Boh Manok Weng is unique because the traders use a drill press with a drill bit replaced by an egg beater. There are also those who use a mixture. The use of these tools produces a better speed than using a hand whisk, so that the raw eggs expand and foam. After the eggs are fruity, and they are mixed with coffee. Meanwhile, young areca nuts is served as a companion. Despite being made from chicken eggs, Boh Manok Weng does not have a fishy smell. The drink has a strong flavor that combines with the softness of the egg and the chewiness of the areca nut. It's refreshing with a unique texture. This Acehese drink also has benefits. The eggs adds energy, while the young areca nuts is believed to help digestions. It's usually eaten with lemang, a snack made from glutinous rice and coconut milk that's grilled in a bamboo. For those of you visiting Aceh, this drink can be found in various traditional coffee shops to modern coffee shops. Boh Manok Weng now has various flavors. There are flavors with mixtures of tea, milk powder, to request without any mixtures, only eggs and sugar. This traditional drink is priced at around 18,000 rupiah to 20,000 rupiah, or less than $1.5 US per glass.
Akan ku temui, oh kemana
You are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present to you Miscellany. Listener, today's Miscellany informs you about a team of students from the Faculty of Economics and Business at Gajah Mada University, Yogyakarta, Indonesia, that develop an eco-friendly cement from shell waste. The product, namely InnoCem, short for Innovatively Efficient Instant Cement, was created as part of the Student Creativity Program in Entrepreneurship. One of the team members, Fidyas Putri Belva Akila, explained the idea for InnoCem started from their concern about the construction industry, which produces 37% of carbon emissions. This is largely because of the traditional use of limestone-based cement that involves environmentally harmful processes. The development of InnoCem is to promote sustainable green construction in Indonesia. It also addresses environmental issues by processing shell waste that has not been optimally managed. The team chose shell waste as the raw material because it contains potassium oxide, a component similar to limestone. According to various studies, shell waste has a high potassium oxide. Shell waste is currently abundant but not widely used, resulting in large amounts of garbage. Listener, the high potassium oxide in shell waste makes it a promising alternative to limestone in cement production. InnoCem is now available online through marketplaces and its official website. This product supports the development of eco-friendly construction and offers a solution for reducing shell waste. Well, listener, that's today's Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Kita jalan berdua, bergandengan tangan, tapi tak jadian. Kita nonton berduaan, dan makan malam, tetap tak jadian. Ini nasi yang menganaskan, harus terjadi lagi. Bukan mau suzon, tapi orang bilang itu friendzone. Malam telpon-telponan, hingga pagi datang, tetap tak jadian. Sudah banyak perhatian, juga kesempatan masih tak jadian. Tidakkah cukup yang engkau lihat, pertemanan ini sungguh berat. Tidakkah indah bila kita bersama, tapi tidak di mimpi saja. Di mimpi saja. Tidakkah cukup yang engkau lihat, pertemanan ini sungguh berat. Tidakkah indah bila kita berdua. terus terjadi lagi. Bukan mau suzon, tapi orang bilang itu friendzone.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition of Music Corner, I'll bring you vibrant sounds of Indonesian pop. I'm going to play you a song from the Rejang tribe of Bengkulu called Jibeak Bueo, which means don't do that. The song carries a deep message about life, reminding us not to give up easily and to stay resilient. Jibeak Bueo tells the story of Rejang youth who only eat what they can afford, but still continue to never give up. The song encourages us to remain grateful no matter how tough the life is. Well, listener, here is Jibeak Bueo by Bobby Mawardi.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia. Of Indonesia.
jawaban yang aku cari. Kisah hari ini kan ku bagi denganmu. Dengarlah sayang.
Terasa dekat. right here, baby. Break it down, break it down. Vidi, come on.
Oh, tiada kejutan. Pesona diri pertamaku jabat jemari tanganmu biasa saja. Masa pertalian terjalin sudah ada yang menarik bayang-bayangmu tak mau pergi.
VOI listener, thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email, voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media, Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.